Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Interesting story out of Ohio. And these things do happen, so it's interesting to talk about. But two people have been charged in the theft of a black walnut tree, one of the state's largest from Metro Parks in Strongsville. This is happening in Ohio, and it is alleged that the tree was worth $28,000. Adam Farese wrote the story for Cleveland.com. Several people sent it to me. And the two people involved are a brother and sister. And they're accused of working together to chop down a century-old black walnut tree in Cleveland Metro Park's Mill Stream Run Reservation. That was one of the largest in the state and worth approximately $28,000, according to law enforcement officials. The two people are 56 years old and 54 years old. They're charged with grand theft and falsification, which are both fourth-degree felonies. Their arraignments are set for later this month in the Common Pleas Court. So here's the story. The Plain Dealer, a newspaper in Ohio, interviewed the two people at the heart of this and asked them what was going on. And they said that they believed the tree belonged to them because one of them owns property adjacent to the park, and his family for years had believed the tree was on their side of the property line. Now, they both said that they don't think they should face criminal charges. And the guy says, the brother says, this is so ridiculous they're doing this. This is insane. There was no ill intent. The question is, do you need to have ill intent to be prosecuted for chopping down a tree if it's not on your property? We'll get to that in a second. Black walnut trees are highly sought after because of the high quality lumber they can create. The lumber is often used to make furniture, musical instruments, and veneer, among other things. Black walnuts also serve as homes for many types of wildlife, and between 23 to 100 kinds of caterpillars. That, of course, is all by the woman who is the Metro Parks Director of Natural Resources. So the tree is not just a source of lumber, it is a living place for animals and so on. The tree cut down in Strongsville was massive by most standards, and it was one of the largest in the state, according to the woman from the DNR. The 5.5-foot-wide tree was 207 inches in circumference. For comparison, the circumference of the largest two known black walnut trees in Ohio are 227 and 211 inches. So this looks like it would have come in third place if those are the top three contenders. Also said the average black walnut in the Metro Park system is between 16 and 19 inches in diameter. The tree that was cut down in Strongsville was easily more than 100 years old, also according to experts. Now, Metro Parks officials estimate the value of the tree at over $28,000, but the total cost to replace the tree, and this is the interesting thing, there's often several ways to value damages, okay? So if you get in a car accident, your car is damaged. Do you fix the car? Do you replace the car? You know, these are different things. So here, you can't fix the tree, but you might say, well, the tree got cut down and was sold. Just take that money and say that's the damages. Well, no, the people who owned the tree, if it's not the people who cut it down, might not have wanted it cut down. It might have some kind of value to them beyond that. So the cost to replace the tree, as well as newly planted saplings that were damaged, is $102,000, according to police reports. And what they're saying is the tree was cut down, but it also damaged trees nearby in the process. So the DNR discovered the tree was cut down on a Saturday morning in late September. That was one from the DNR who was driving around, and she happened to just notice it. She drove down the road to check a handful of newly planted trees and saw that the black walnut was cut down with its canopy strewn across the ground. So somebody cut the tree down and didn't even clean it up. Any species that is 5.5 feet in diameter, she said, we just don't get trees that are growing that tall and that are that old other than cottonwood trees. We need to be doing everything we can to protect trees, especially large, mature trees like this one. Meanwhile, the two people who are accused of cutting the tree down sold the tree for $2,000 to a logging company. The company cut down the tree in September and sold all but one of the logs to a hardwoods company for $10,000. So the people who cut the tree down, paid $2,000, and then flipped the tree for $10,000, according to police reports. the owner of the logging company told police that he kept one log to make furniture for himself. Now, they've been cleared of wrongdoing in part because one of the two people that signed the contract said they had conducted a survey and that they were the rightful owner of the tree, according to police reports. And this is something I'd be concerned about if I ran a logging company. Somebody goes, yeah, this is my property, that's my tree, chop it down and pay me money. How do you know it's their tree? The tree sat about 7.5 feet away from the property owned by one of the siblings, and that's a plot of land that Metro Parks bought last year from a neighbor, according to Metro Parks police reports. A park surveyor determined the tree was clearly on park district land, according to the police reports. Now, the brother and sister said that their father, who is no longer with us, bought the property 36 years ago and always referred to the tree as his. His wife couldn't pay the property taxes and amassed $15,000 in liens, according to police reports. She signed the deed over to one of the siblings in July, and then that sibling put the house on the market. Now, the sibling said in an interview that he owns a small business that's struggling and is taking care of his disabled son. He said he's tried to get a job, but is worried that the criminal charge will derail his chances, and that's a criminal charge he's facing right now. The tree was cut down over the course of a week in September, according to police, and one of the siblings wondered why Metro Parks officials didn't say anything during that week. I have no idea where this is coming from, he said. It's ours. I just don't understand any of this. So he's saying that they did this openly, and somebody should have seen him cutting down the tree. Why didn't somebody say something then? And that's also another one of those arguments that you hear a lot, where somebody says, I was doing something wrong and nobody stopped me. Why didn't somebody stop me? Meanwhile, one of the siblings has another explanation. They believe that the Metro Parks might want to buy their property, but it offered them significantly less than the property value. He said he believes the investigation could be a tactic to force him to sell. Said he's looking for an attorney to defend him in the criminal case and also wants to sue the Metro Parks. Said he never received any money from the sale of the tree. So the question is, if he didn't receive any money, who got the $2,000? Somebody says that they got $2,000 for the tree, and he says he never got any money. Meanwhile, they don't want me to sell it commercially. They're coming after me to push me and scare me into selling it cheap, referring to the property. Metro Parks spokesperson Jacqueline Gerling said in a statement that the park system frequently considers making offers to on-the-market properties that are adjacent to the parks. The defendant's intentional action of cutting down a mature tree on Cleveland Metro Parks property and selling the milled wood to a third party is in no way related to the potential interest in acquisition of the defendant's property, the spokesperson said. So here's the question. And by the way, it's a very simple answer. You go find the property line and you simply draw the dotted line. Is a stump on this side or this side? Someone's going to ask, what if it runs right down the middle? For our hypothetical, let's assume it doesn't. And so you go out there and you measure the line. If the stump is on their side of the line, they win. If the stump is on the other side of the line, they're in trouble. And they mention not having any ill will and believing it was theirs. But you understand, I assume, that basic property law. I'm not talking about real estate law. I'm talking about property, things, tangible things, right? This is a thing. It's a widget. And if you honestly believe this is yours and you come and take it and walk off with it, I can come after you and say, excuse me, that's mine. Give it back to me. If you won't give it back to me, I can call the police and say they stole my widget. They can give it back to me. If I can prove it's mine, I get the widget back. You can be prosecuted for that. I had no ill will. I thought it was mine. Now, you might say, Steve, what if it was a mistake? I'm walking by, I got a widget just like this, I pick it up, I walk off with it. And you point out that it's yours and I give it back to you. Well, that's a possibility that you can say that you had some kind of mistaken belief and your intent wasn't to steal it and you gave it back to me because you can resolve it so quickly. Here's the problem, you can't give this tree back. You can't rebuild the tree. The tree's gone, right? And a bigger question is that it's actually a simple matter of just finding the property line and saying, which side of the line was it on? And here's the problem, and I'm going to give you the example, and again, I'm going to give you Michigan law, because I'm so familiar with Michigan law that I can look this stuff very quickly and find the answers, and I can't do this as quickly in other states. But Michigan has got a specific statute on point involving trees, wood, lumber, Actually, trees are potential lumber, right? So there's a law, MCL 600-2919, 600.2919, and it says that anybody who cuts down or carries off wood, trees, or timber belonging to somebody else is liable for three times the value of the trees they chopped down. Now, it does say that if the person who did this or allowed it to happen did it casually, that's the word they use, casual, or had cause to believe it was their own, then they're only liable for single damages, actual damages. And they're also liable for attorney fees and court costs, which actually can get expensive. And I've never litigated one of these cases, but I've heard of them. And I've mentioned before that I've actually had a friend of mine contact me about somebody who's chopping down trees on his property. And I got them to stop very quickly by sending them a letter that pointed this out. And one of the purposes of the letter I sent was to put them on notice that the trees you're cutting down are not your own. Therefore, you will be held liable for the treble damages, not the single damages. And oh boy, they stopped. They stopped. So, in a case like Michigan, situation like Michigan, and you've got a yard and you've got a park, and there's a divider somewhere recorded at the county, and there's a tree near that line, and you honestly believe it's your tree, and you chop it down, and it's not, you can make the argument that you're only liable for actual damages. Actual damages could be the value of the tree or the cost to replace the tree. And some trees are very, very difficult to replace. We'll get to that in a second. And if you had no good faith belief or you couldn't prove that your belief was well-founded, you're going to get hit with treble damages. Three times the cost of that tree to replace it or the value thereof, and the court would decide that as well. You should know that there are often many ways to calculate damages. And a court will do what it's what it believes is reasonable. Or if it's a jury, a court will ask a jury to do what they think is reasonable. And then the parties can make their arguments to the jury. And you can point out to a jury that this tree was so unusual, it literally cannot be replaced in that sense. You can't go out and find a black walnut tree that is that big, that old, and transplant it successfully. You probably can't. You probably can't. And at that point, like every other case where it's hard to monetize damages, someone's got to point at it and go, well, then what is it worth? And again, if it wasn't done casually or with good faith belief, in Michigan, they'd get hit with a number times three. And that would get ugly. So this entire case, I'm guessing, is going to come down to somebody going out and surveying and finding line, dropping the markers, and asking which side of that line the stump is on. Simple. It's simple. And your good faith belief that it was yours, it might go towards the intent as to which crime they charge you with, but it sounds like they charged them with one of the lessers already. So it's a strange case. We'll see what happens. But as of right now, two people are charged, brother and a sister, in the theft of a $28,000 black walnut tree, one of the state's largest from a metro park in Strongsville. That's happening in Ohio. Adam Faris wrote this for Cleveland.com. Dan, Tequila, and Ronald all sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Every man has his follies, and often they are the more interesting thing he has got.